Pittsburgh Section National Council of Jewish History, or National Council of Jewish Women Oral History 2. This is Shirley Stolzer along with her partner Marcy Schwartz interviewing Dr. Neil Wald at his office at the School of Public Health. Just to make sure all is going well, Dr. Wald, would you just say a word to us?
Yes. I hope this is recording properly and that I'm talking loudly enough.
Good. Thank you. My machine thinks so. Yeah.
How you spent your youth in terms of vacations or amusements, or what was your interest? Music, books, sports?
Well, I was always a reader. I still have a copy of the kindergarten newspaper with the note on top of it by the principal that I read this to her, and I read it very well or something. That was PS6 in kindergarten, and I was always an avid reader. I was a kit maker, made a model of the Normandy, model airplanes, things like that. Vacations, as I mentioned last time, in the preschool years, my parents rented a cottage, and my mother's sister and her family rented one, usually in the vicinity, and we four cousins played together. I was a little late in learning to swim because of my mastoidectomy, I remember. So I learned to row, paddle a canoe instead. And I always enjoyed water. When I was about 9 years old, the era of governesses was over, and my sister and I went off to summer camp and went to the same one every summer for, I don't know how many years, I guess, until I started college. And wartime accelerated program took away the summer vacations. As a matter of fact, when the second year of med school was over, and the war had just ended, that was in August 45, so my first vacation since high school was the following summer, and I went back to the same camp as a counselor. I guess that was the last summer vacation. The next summer was internship. I was interested in music. We followed tradition. My sister studied piano. I studied violin for a relatively short time until nobody could stand the sound. I was not musical as far as performing, but I got involved in the guitar and folk music. Used to go to folk music program that WNYC used to run. Got to know some of the people who are now, I guess, the heroes of folk music, even Leadbelly, if you know that name, if you know anything about folk music. I used to go to his house after the program, and it was fascinating. My family wasn't involved in music. My parents got a set of opera records as a wedding present, which they never played. I used to, and I guess I would go to an opera once a year when my uncle's synagogue had a benefit. But I found classical music and QXR when I was in my early, well, about 12, 13. Bought a radio with my bar mitzvah money, and that was a major interest of mine. And theater was, too. From summer camp, we had a good tradition of dramatics there, and did at least one Broadway play a year, so I got familiar with a lot of contemporary and earlier work. And of course, being in New York, my friends and I discovered that if you mingled with the crowd at the first intermission, you generally could get into any play. So we did in our teens. Photography was another hobby of mine. Did, you know, film processing on my own. I guess those were the main things. Pretty much it was school took all the time, between the secular school and the Hebrew school, and then the accelerated high school, and the accelerated college, and the accelerated medical school. So it was a pretty one-sided kind of growing up, I would say, in retrospect. Big academic push. Did have some fun along the way, though.
Dr. Walk, how, aside from how it...
May I just ask about the camp? Was that a Jewish camp?
Yeah, it was a kosher Jewish camp.
In New York?
Well, the camp was in Pittsfield, Mass.
Oh, which camp was it?
Winnedoo is the name. I don't know if it may still be in existence. My kids went there one or two summers. They didn't like it. They felt like outsiders, and actually I did too, because most of the kids came from Brooklyn, from the same neighborhood, and Manhattan was another world, and I didn't know Brooklyn. But I learned something about Jewish culture that I hadn't learned at home.
How did you spell the name of the camp?
W-I-N-A-D-U.
Did it have a meaning?
Yeah, there were three directors or owners. That was the first two letters of each of their names. It was a sister camp that my sister went to about 4 or 5 miles away. We had to see each other once a summer. That was a trial. The main benefit was that you got to see the other girls.
So it was somewhat orthodox.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. It had a camp rabbi, and it was somewhat orthodox is a good way to put it. I mean, it was kosher, and kids that were orthodox could have meaning every day. There was a camp rabbi, as I said.
Was this Shomer Shabbos?
More or less, yes. I guess it would be. I do remember there was a ball game on Tisha B'Av, and the camp rabbi was playing and broke his ankle, rounding was, third brace.
That was his punishment, right?
That's what everybody decided. But, so it was funny. A somewhat relaxed, orthodox camp.
After that, what I'd like to do is take you through chronologically.
Mm-hmm.
Once you graduated med school, where did you take your residency?
I finished in 48, July 48. I took a rotating internship. They did have them then, in those days. It seemed like I knew I was heading for internal medicine, but it seemed like a good idea to get everything else. And I was at one of the city hospitals. My problem in getting an internship, or getting the best internships, is I was the upper half of the class, but I was among the youngest because of the accelerated program, and from high school on. As I said, my concern until the war gave us a vacation, or when the war ended, was that I wouldn't be old enough to get licensed by the time I got out. So I must have been fairly obviously a rather immature kid, and I didn't get the top internships, but it was a good city hospital rotating internship at Lincoln Hospital in the South Bronx, which wasn't quite the battlefield it is today, but it had, for someone with, came from a liberal democratic family, it was interesting. It was the only city hospital which had a school of nursing, which was for black women and men, and the staff, the nursing staff, was predominantly black. It was an interesting experience. It was pretty wild. We rode ambulance when there had been a mayoralty campaign, and I think I mentioned last time, we got thrown on the ambulances in southeast Bronx. And that was a good side. There was a city beach, Orchard Beach, and we also provided a service for Orchard Beach, which meant you spent the day at the beach waiting for accidents. And I took my girl, who later became my wife, and so we would drive to the beach in this big white Cadillac. Pretty fancy. Then I took a fellowship in hematology, immunohematology, at Beth Israel.
How long were you in Lincoln?
1 year. Yeah, that was the rotating year. It was a good experience. Delivered about 200 babies. A lot of trauma experience. Plus, we were pretty much in charge in a city hospital, so we got to do everything that private hospitals, the house staff reads about and watches the attending do. Mm-hmm. So it was a very good experience. Then,
did you ever think to not do internal medicine?
No. I mean, my uncle was in internal medicine. At Bellevue, it was the most intellectually challenging. I mean, the surgery was good at Bellevue, but internal medicine was where the great people were.
How long was your residency?
I had the fellowship for 1 year at Beth Israel. Then I went to Goldwater. No, then I took an assistant. I was assistant resident in medicine at Beth Israel. Then the next year I went to Goldwater, the second residency year on the NYU, the fourth division, and came back to Beth Israel as chief resident for the third residency year. So that's 4 years of internship plus residency. I moonlighted at Goldwater as the night executive physician. Well, I learned at Goldwater the view was so great. The living quarters were so much better than Beth Israel. And just watching the sunset every night on the spires of those buildings in Manhattan, what people pay a lot of money for now in those condos that are on what they call Roosevelt Island now. Mm-hmm. But it was Welfare Island, and it was hospitals, and I was on the top floor. I got to like it, so when I went back to Beth Israel, I kept the job as night executive physician at Goldwater. So I continued to have the room, and they paid me, and I was on the nights I was off at Beth Israel. is on covering at Goldwater. The main job of the night executive physician was, this was a chronic disease hospital, and so every morning you would sign a bunch of death certificates, and that was the main job, unless some crisis arose. But the pace of a chronic disease hospital was quite different than a regular acute hospital. So it was possible to get some sleep. So I did that moonlighting, kept the room, and got a little money. I mean, we were getting paid $25 a month at Beth Israel. So as chief resident, we worked up to $50 a month. Never did have to pay New York income tax.
Really?
Never quite got that much. No, when I, when the Korean War came along, I signed up for a commission, and they kept me in the reserve to finish my training. And in the processing, the reserve processing, you had to fill out endless forms, and one of the questions was, how much an hour do you earn? And I figured out, with, what was it, 36 on and 12 off, and divided it, and they wouldn't believe it. I mean, it came to about 22 cents or something. But that was the how I spent the next 4 years.
What was your fourth year? You said the third year was back at that position.
Well, after 1 year of internship and then the 3 years of residency.
Oh, I see.
So that was four postgraduate years, they call them now. We didn't glorify it with the name postgraduate. Now you're a PG1, not an intern, and a PG2.
They also get paid.
And how? Yeah.
Dr. Wall, you weren't drafted. You decided to enlist.
Well, in World War II, I had been under draft age until I was already accepted in medical school, and medical students were deferred, so I was deferred. When the Korean War came along, there was a need for doctors, and the first priority were those who had been deferred in World War II. I missed out on the free. I was too young to get into the military training programs that in World War II, the Navy V-12 program, the Army ASTP that paid your way through medical school. I was too young, so I missed that. And then on top of it, because I was deferred, I was first on the list of my draft board, and they didn't draft me. They suggested that they would rather have me take a commission than draft me as a private, and it seemed reasonable, so I took a commission in the Air Force. And then when I was being processed for active duty, they decided that I'd be more valuable if I finished my training. I was happy to agree to that, and so I went in as soon as I finished my fourth year
and
of residency.
Was
52. 48. Yeah, 52. Korean War was still on. I was assigned by virtue of the training I had had, and I had been doing research along with the clinical training from starting with the immunohematology fellowship, which was purely primarily a research experience. I kept on doing research in hematology while I was a resident. So I had a number of publications by the time I was finished, and they assigned me to the School of Aviation Medicine in San Antonio, Texas, because my name fell out when the computer in the Pentagon was trying to fill a requisition from the school. The school had a department of radiobiology, and they requisitioned a hematologist. I didn't know anything about radiation, but the computer said, this is a hematologist now, and that made the assignment. So I had a 3-month course in aviation medicine. That was the basic training for physicians. That was in Alabama, beginning in July, which was quite an experience for someone who until then had lived primarily in New York and its environs. I had always been anxious to travel. I had looked for reasons, never really, well, it was hard to find reasons. We didn't even have a family car to be good Manhattanites. I finally got one when I was a resident. New York started issuing empty plates so you could park. And so my first trip, outside of the city, was to visit my girlfriend's home and family in St. Louis. Anyhow, I hit Alabama in the middle of a drought, and we were at a little airfield outside of Montgomery, the home of the Confederacy, and well, it was very foreign. I drove down with one of my fellow medical students and house staff. We had a number of us had gone along together. He was going to an army post in Georgia, and we drove into Georgia, and you really had the feeling when you were off the main roads that you were in a foreign country, and it was not a very comfortable country to be in. They talked a different language in a different way, and you stood out. Weren't too welcome.
Did you feel that you stood out because you were a northerner or because you were Jewish?
I think just being a Yankee was enough. Then in Alabama, in this little airfield outside Montgomery, Gunter Air Force Base, was located next to another federal property. It was a state property. It was Kilby Prison. I had heard about it because Leadbelly had been a prisoner there, and a number of his songs were based on it. And they were still, this was 1952, the prisoners were chained together. The guard sat under a tree with a rifle, and they hoed weeds in the sugar cane and cotton fields, which was quite a shock. I didn't expect that, coming from New York and where I had been. The commandant tried to have me agree to have my... That was a branch of the School of Aviation Medicine, this, right, where the primary course in aviation medicine is given, or the basic course, and he tried to persuade me to have my orders changed to stay on there. I was a first lieutenant and he was a colonel, but I didn't agree to that. So I went on down to Texas. That was a revelation too. San Antonio. I think the main impression I had was driving through the South, and there were the black people, and then everybody else was blonde with blue eyes and blonde hair. It was, the uniformity was so surprising after being brought up in New York.
How was Texas a revelation?
Well, as I said, the uniformity of the people was one thing. I liked Texas. It was very hot. There was a drought that had gone on for several years, and so you got used to 104, 105 degrees. It, San Antonio is a little drier than the eastern part of the state. Really gets steamy in Houston.
Is there a name of an air base for the
Randolph Air Force Base. Yeah. Randolph was the when I spoke to people after I was assigned to the School of Aviation Medicine, all I heard about from these Air Force personnel officers was what a great place. It had the best officers club in the country. It was where the Air Force people tended to retire, where the Navy goes to San Diego. I don't know where the Army goes, but it was one of the prize assignments was Randolph, to be assigned to Randolph. And the only thing I prized was that I was going to be in an academic institution, I mean, military academic, and continue to do research. And they kept telling me about the swimming pool at the officers' club, and it was kind of funny. But it was a beautiful base. It was one of the old bases. I mean, the Air Force was new in World War II, or after World War II, so it hadn't been an independent organization very long, and it picked up some Army, what had been Army Air Force installations, but the Army tended to give them the bad ones after the divorce, and but this was the prize one. And it was nice, the bachelor officer's quarters, which is where you had to stay in that area. There are bases where if there's housing, sufficient off-base housing, you're allowed to get your quarters allowance, which is part of your pay. But if it's not declared available, then you have to stay at the bachelor officer's quarters, and Uncle Sam takes the quarters allowance. It happened to be a fairly nice BOQ. It was the base's buildings are Spanish or Mexican hacienda style, which means the corridors are on the outside, the walls are thick. It's all designed for living in a tropical region, the traditional red roof tiles. And this was, we had an apartment assigned, two of us. You were assigned to apartments. You didn't pick your roommates, and they were of the same sex in those days. And then you did on seniority, you could move up to better apartments or things. I always lived with flight officers, flying people. I had one administrative, mainly it was pilots, and again, it was a whole new way of life. I mean, the idea of spending some free time on the rifle range. One pilot was a nut about guns and had a collection, so we used to go out and do target shooting as recreation. I did all right. I enjoyed it. Well, my first contact with guns was at Gunter Air Force Base. It was not just the doctors, but the nurses were new. Nursing officers were trained there, too, and we were together on the firing range, and we had to learn to use a rifle and a 45. A 45 is a very big gun. I mean, it's a handgun, but it has a kick like a mule. And I remember one experience where one of the nurses fired the thing once, and it kicked back up, and she started crying. She said she couldn't shoot this thing, and meanwhile she's waving this 45 around. All of us are lying on the ground, hoping that she'll get over her attack of nerves. It was. We had fun though. It was the mixture of, and at Randolph we had the Army's biggest medical installation, Fort Sam Houston, right up the road, the Brooke Army Medical Center, where the Army inducted its medical and nursing officers. And so, even though there weren't many of us at the school, we could always go to the Army base down the road, and the officers' club there was, they had a club of their own for the medical people, and we got to see people we knew coming through. So that was, the work was, I haven't talked about the work was fascinating. It was different. It was research in the Air Force was worried about the effect of radiation on its flying personnel after they dropped an atom bomb. Could they get away fast enough? If not, could they continue to do their work after significant radiation exposure? And so our main project that they requisitioned a hematologist for was the unclassified name was incapacitation from radiation. It was a two-edged project. Partly it was to determine the degree of incapacitation about